Hey, good morning, Hope. Those who were at the Shul dinner last night enjoyed. Those who were not, we missed you. You missed quite a fun time. And did anyone what? Fall? Not that I know of. No lawyers have called us this morning yet. Oh, no, not that I know of. No. They were throwing me pretty high, though. I will say, one of the rabbis went a little higher than the other rabbi, but we can figure out the physics of that later. Okay. Today, we have the special opportunity to begin Sefer Malachi. Now, you'll wonder, why are we learning Sefer Malachi? Well, it's the same reasons that we were learning the books of Haggai and Zechariah earlier in the year, because this isn't just about Ezra and Nehemiah. It's really the totality of the story of the return of the Jewish people to Israel and the various narratives surrounding it. Okay, so while we learned Haggai and Zechariah, we learned Ezra and Nehemiah, now we're going to probably spend 2 weeks, maybe three, but likely 2 weeks, kind of putting a ribbon on the whole story. And it's not a very pretty ribbon, as we'll see in just a minute. Who was Malachi? So we don't really know. If you recall back to the story of Haggai and Zechariah, so you'll remember that the Navi was very explicit, dating exactly the story to our narrative of Daryavesh, of Darius, and we were able to fit it in to a broader context. Malachi does not do that, which leads to a certain element of ambiguity about really who Malachi was, when exactly he was prophesizing. We're going to assume for now, like the Radak. The Radak and others, obviously, but it's here in my Mikros Gedolos. But the Radak assumes that Malachi is the last of the prophets. The Gemara itself assumes that Malachi is the last of the prophets. And says the Radak, Haggai, Zechariah, Umalachi, Haim Shenavu B'Bayit Sheni. They are the prophets during Bayit Sheni. Uvechagai v'Zechariah nichtav zman nevuaschem. Haggai and Zechariah, it describes for us the time of their nevuah, right? We can date it. We know exactly when it is. Uva Malachi lo nichtav. But by Malachi, we're not given any sequence of events. We're not sure exactly where it fits in to the broader order. The Efshar, he says, Shehaya acharon shebahem, that Malachi is the last of the prophets, v'chein yira, and that is what it seems to me is correct. Then he quotes Chazal, who says that Malachi is Ezra. Okay, now we know that other various forms of place in Tanakh, where different Nevi'im have different names, he ultimately says, I don't necessarily think that's the case, but I'll tell you why we think that Malachi is Ezra. And the reason why we think Malachi is Ezra is because, as we'll see, there are many similarities to the stories that we were learning in the book of Ezra, or I should say, that which was troubling the Jewish people in the time of Ezra, with what exactly we're going to read in the time of Malachi. So, whether or not Malachi is Ezra, certainly there are a lot of similarities between what we're going to read about, the battles that Ezra had to fight, versus what Malachi is going to rail against when talking to the Jewish people. Issues like intermarriage, issues like tithing, right? The issues that are somewhat unique to the book of Ezra. You don't find oftentimes in Tanakh this diatribe against intermarriage, but you find it in Ezra, and you're going to find it here in Malachi. You don't oftentimes find that miser, that the inability or the unwillingness to give maser, to tithe, was such a big deal, but we saw that in the story of Nehemiah, it was a really big deal. You're going to see it's a big deal here. So there are going to be a lot of cross themes between what we learned in Ezra and Nehemiah and what you're going to learn in Malachi. And that, says the Radak, is why we're able to piece these stories together. Yeah. I don't have the exact year. It's a little bit after what we were reading, I believe. But like the same general... Yes, well, that right, exactly. That's right, right. Same way Haggai and Zechariah filled in the blanks of Ezra and Nehemiah, Malachi is going to fill in some of those blanks as well. Okay? Now, what did we learn? Let's just take an outside step back for a second. What was one of the things we learned with Haggai and Zechariah, if you remember? right? There was one word that we kept on coming back to over and over again. Potential, right? That was kind of the key word throughout the entire time. And who was the source of that potential? It was Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel came from the Davidic dynasty, and so he represented the potential for Mashiach. And that's what certainly in the book of Haggai, and even more so, I believe, in the book of Zechariah, that's what the Navi was trying to communicate to the Jewish people. This could be the Messianic era. Zerubbabel had the potential to be Mashiach. This could be the time. What obviously gets in the way? So we saw, chait, sin got in the way. And it ruined the potential, whether it was intermarriage, which we certainly saw was one of the reasons, or the Gemara in Yoma, if you recall, described that maybe it wasn't intermarriage, but it was the unwillingness of most of the Jews to come back to Eretz Yisrael. That was a sin, the Gemara in Yoma had told us. Whether it was intermarriage, whether it was the failure of the majority of the Jewish people to return to Israel, all of this potential that existed during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, if you recall back to last week, because last week we did Purim, so the end of Nehemiah ends with a thump. And all of the things that we had hoped for, Mashiach, and all, it all was unfulfilled. It never came to fruition. So now, let's put ourselves in the Jewish people, right? Against that backdrop, let's put ourselves in the mindset of the Jewish people, because you can't really understand what Malachi is talking about had you not undergone the first 18 classes that we have already learned together, okay? If you're a Jewish person right now, you're living in, whether it's Bavel, you're living in Persia, you're living in Eretz Yisrael, what are you feeling right now? What are you feeling? Well, there was this enormous potential. You were on the cusp of Mashiach. And is Mashiach there? No. So let's put ourselves in our day and age. Okay, I just got back from APAC. Wonderful conference. Really the highlight of my... I told my wife, it's like an injection every year of just love of Israel, Zionism. It's really an incredible 2.5 days, 3 days. Right? So Israel was founded 71 years ago. Okay? We put into our liturgy, Reishit Tzmicha Gulatenu, there was this enormous Zionist fervor, Messianic fervor. We as religious Zionists believed that this was the coming of the Messianic era. 71 years later, so Mashiach isn't here, and one could argue that we, with the divisiveness and the challenges that are taking place in Israel, right, we're not, I mean, we're closer because we're in Israel, but there are enormous challenges. And so you can feel a little bit dejected. Okay, magnify that tenfold in the times of Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi and Ezra and Nehemiah, where they had prophecy. Right, we were conjecturing. There, the Navi told them this could be Mashiach. You're on the cusp. You're on the precipice. All you have to do is get it right. And what happens? Mashiach doesn't come. So you have, So you have two ways of responding to that. Okay. You can either, right, let's say I tell my son, if he doesn't clean up his room, he's not going to get dessert. So he starts cleaning up his room, but he gets sidetracked and doesn't finish cleaning up his room. And then he comes to me and he asks for dessert. And I say, you're not getting dessert. So there are two ways to react to that. One way is to say, you're right, Daddy, I take responsibility. Let me go finish cleaning up my room and then maybe you'll give me dessert. Okay? That never happens. What happens? You're so mean, you're so cruel, how could you do this to me? So that's exactly what B'nai Israel are feeling. There are two ways to have responded, to reacted to the unfulfilled potential. One is to look inside themselves and to say, maybe we didn't live up to the expectations of Hashem to have warranted Mashiach coming. Second thing is to blame it on Hashem and to say, Hashem, maybe you don't love us anymore. Maybe you've forsaken us. Maybe you've given up on us. And that's what Malachi is talking to here. Malachi is talking to a generation that feels that God has forsaken them. That the fact that Mashiach did not come means that God must have given up on the relationship altogether. And Malachi is going to come, whereas Haggai and Zechariah had come along and said, it's time to rebuild. Get off the sidelines. Stop worrying about your pretty houses and build a base of Mikdash for Hashem. So Malachi is going to come along and say, don't think that Hashem gave up on their relationship. And he's going to take the finger and point it away from God. And who's he going to point it to? The Jewish people. He's going to say, you have to remember that you had entered into a covenant with Hashem. And there were certain expectations of that covenant. You have to live up to a certain standard. And if you don't live up to the certain standard, that is why Mashiach wasn't going to come. So it's a tool that the Nevi'im use over and over again, where the people assume, right? Remember, who did Ezra and Nehemiah blame it on? They blamed it on the enemies. They said it's the enemies' fault that the construction of the Beis HaMikdash was halted. And do you remember what Haggai said? It wasn't the enemy's fault. It's your fault. So Nevi'im oftentimes will do that. They'll point the finger away from someone or something else, and they'll help the Jewish people look inside themselves and say, maybe you require some introspection. So let's dive right in. Okay, there are really four sections. Let's say five sections to the book of Malachi. It's not a very long book. It's three chapters, right? We are going to do sections 1 and 2 today, and we'll do sections 3, 4, and 5 next week. Okay, so Masa Dvar Adonai El Yisrael Beyad Malachi. What does the word Masa mean? Well, it could be lift, it could be carry. It's a weird word. What word would you expect to be there? Something that's very heavy. Okay, now, what are we obviously referring to here? A nevuah, right? Really what it should say is Dvar Hashem, the nevuah of Hashem. Masa, Rashi says, Davar hanimsar lemalachi. This was something given over to Malachi, lases oso el bnei Israel, to carry with him to the Jewish people. If you're carrying something, right? Think about how we use it colloquially. I carry the weight of something. I'm carrying it on my heart. Okay, what does that mean? It means it's a burden. It's heavy, right? Malachi knows that what he's about to tell the Jewish people is heavy stuff. This fits into our narrative that Malachi is the last of the Nevi'im. Okay, if this is the last chance that Hashem has through a prophet to communicate to a Jewish people, that's a big deal. That's a weighty thing. And we're going to talk about, not this week, in future weeks, what are the implications of that? What are the implications of going from prophecy to post-prophecy? Okay, that'll be in 2 weeks, the week before Pesach. Okay, so, but we're going to get to that. So Masar Dvar Anayel Yisrael B'Yad Malachi. Ahavti Eschem Amar Adonai Ve'amartem Bama Avtanu. That pretty much summarizes the first theme right there. Hashem says, I loved you. And what did you say? Right? How do I know you loved me? Show me. Right? Show me the love. Now what does that show you? It shows you that the Jewish people feel that Hashem had given up on that love. And what does Hashem say off the bat? I love you. Don't think I gave up on this relationship. It's you who have projected that I gave up on you. But Ahavti Eschem, I loved you. And despite the fact that I loved you, you said, does God really love me? I don't know. Does he care about me? Now, how did Hashem express that love to the Jewish people? Haloach Esav LeYaakov Nu Maranai. Vohaves Yaakov. Hashem says, I had a choice to make. There were two brothers, Yaakov and Esav. And who did I choose? I chose Yaakov. I chose you guys. Ves Esav, and it's not just that I chose you guys, but I hated Esav. Ves Esav Sanesi. And it's not just that I hated him, but I manifested this hatred for him. Ve'asim es harav shmama ves nachlaso l'sanos midbar. I made his land desolate. Kitomar pasuk dalet, and when you will say Edom rushashnu v'nashuv v'nivneh charavot, and when you say, you know what's the big deal? So our land is desolate. We haven't had success in real estate. You know what? Let's just return, and we'll be able to build just like the Jewish people were able to build their Beis Hamikdash when they returned. What does Hashem say? Ko amar neitzvot heima yivnu ve'ani eheros, right? You might try to build, but I'm going to destroy it. In other words, as opposed to the Jewish people who are able to return and successfully rebuild Yerushalayim, you, talking to the descendants of Esav, you're going to return and you might build, but I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to wipe it out. Vekaru lahem gvul risha, and they will refer to your land as the land of wickedness. Because, right, people are going to wonder, why isn't this land flourishing? Why isn't this land growing? No, it's going to be a gvul risha. They're going to know that it's because of your wickedness that it didn't grow. Ve'am asher za'am Adonai ad olam. And this was a nation, again, talking about the non-Jews here, this was a nation that angered Hashem for eternity. So, what do you see? Let's read one more pasuk, and then we'll just talk for a second. Ve'enechem, pasuk hey. Ve'enechem tirena. You, now talking to the Jewish people, you will see this. Ve'atem tomru, and you will say, Yigdal Adonai me'al ligvul Yisrael. That Hashem's name is Yigdal. It's made great, me'al, because of the borders of Yerushalayim, of Israel. What does that mean? It means that people are going to look at Palestine for 2,000 years, which was desolate, and which no matter who occupied it, no one could make it flourish. The Turks, the Arabs, right? Everyone came, and everyone conquered it, and everyone tried to do something with it, and what did it remain? Desert. Which is, by the way, why no one wanted it. Right? It wasn't a particularly valuable piece of land because nothing happened there. All of a sudden, the Jewish people come back to the land of Israel, and it's
we wanted, they wanted.
And it's extraordinary, I understand. Right? It's extraordinary what's happened there. That is this pasuk. Hashem says, you want to know the greatest proof to my love for you? That they're destroyed and you're still here. That after 2,000 years of exile, you're still around. And it's more than that. It's that they're going to try to build up their land, but I'm going to destroy it. But you, your land, namely the land of Israel, that's going to flourish. That's going to be a sign of glory for us. So that's point number one. Point number one is that Hashem comes to the Jewish people, and you'll notice that the tool that's employed here is a conversation, right? It's structured as a rhetorical dialogue. Hashem says, you're going to ask, and I'll respond. Now, there isn't a real conversation taking place. It's a rhetorical conversation. So, what the Navi tells the Jewish people is that when we realize that the Jewish people have endured all of these years, then we're going to realize that Hashem loves us. And this is something that we've seen, right? There's a Yaakov Emden and his Siddur has this. Mark Twain has famous quotes about it, right? The greatest sign of Hashem's love for the Jewish people is despite the fact that we underwent 2,000 plus years of persecution and exile, we survived. We're still here, thriving. And so many people have come and gone, the Greeks, right? Everyone come and gone, and we're still kicking. Yeah, Mom. Yeah, exactly. So that's Psukim 1 through 5. That's narrative number 1. Hashem starts off off the bat and says, you think I gave up on you? If I wanted to give up on you, you would have looked like the Greeks look, although that doesn't happen until later on, right? You would have looked like Esav does and all the seven nations of the land, right? Those that we wiped out. The fact that you're still here, that shows that I love you. And now they start pointing the finger. Who's the finger going to get pointed at first? By show of hands, who heard Rabbi Angel on Shabbos morning in the Rand Sanctuary? Okay. Rabbi Angel spoke about chosen people, right? The notion of the chosen people, chosenness. Now, it was late. We were hungrier, right? We're Jews. If we don't eat, it's hard for us to think, okay? But let's try to remember hard. How did he define chosenness? Right? What was the central concept of what it means. Did he articulate a vision where we're our DNA is any better than the nations of the world? No, that's not what he said, right? What did he say? He said that we emerged. What do we emerge as? Right? We are the Kohanim of the world. That's what he described. He described how the Kohanim were always the teachers. In the same way the Kohanim served as the teachers to the Jewish people, we, the Jewish people, are the Kohanim to the world. That was his SAT analogy, right? The one which I personally resonated with me, okay? That's what the Navi is going to say right now. And in fact, if Rabbi Angel were standing here, he would have said, these were the psukim that I was alluding to when I spoke about that notion. Who's the Navi going to look at first? He's going to look at the Kohanim. And by looking at the Kohanim, it's about the Kohanim, but it's also about all of us. We have to read ourselves and our lives into the notion of the Kohanim. Okay? Give me a chumash, please. Thank you. Okay. So let's read Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav says as follows. These are, to me, very haunting words. Beinicha beit av ve'eved adonav. It's natural that a son's going to honor his father and that a slave is going to honor his master. Hashem says, thank you so much. Hashem says, oh, it's Vayikra. Thank you. Sorry. Right? Beinicha beit av ve'eved adonav. Says Hashem, Vim avani, now if I'm a father, aye kvodi. Where are you honoring me? Vim adonimani, and if I'm your master, aye morai. Where's the fear in me? Amara nights vote lachem. Hakoanim, thank you so much. Hakoanim, boze shmi. The Kohanim, what's boze? Bizayon. They desecrate me. Right, they desecrate bizayon. Right, a bizayon we would say. Right, so they're it's a bizayon to me. They desecrate my name. Ve'amartem b'memazin bazinu et shemecha. Right, and what do they say in return? They're saying, "What did we do wrong?" Right, what did we do wrong? Now, if you were going to someone, and you open up your heart to someone, you say, "You know what? It really bothers me what you did to me. I want you to know you really humiliated me." What's the worst thing that person could say back to you? I have no idea what you're talking about. Right? What does that do? That makes it even worse. Right? What do you want a person to respond? You're right. I realized also I may have used the wrong choice of words. I'm sorry. The worst thing a person can do is not denying is even better. The worst thing is this, like, I don't know, what did I do? That frustrates you even more. So Hashem says, I came to you and I said, you were mevaza me, you embarrassed me, you desecrated me, and you don't even realize it. You don't even know what you did wrong. That's how low you have fallen. Now, this is very cool. And again, I wouldn't have picked up on this on my own. But Rabbi Angel points this out in one of his articles. What does the word boze shmi sound a lot like? So, if you look at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, we are introduced to two figures. The middle of Parshas Toldos. We're introduced to Yaakov and Esav. And who is the Bechor? Esav. And who wants to be the Bechor? Yaakov. Esav is outside hunting one day, and he comes home, and what is he? Ravenously hungry. Vayomer Yaakov, Michra Kayom es Bechor Aschali. Right? Yaakov says, will you sell your birthright to me? Vayomer Esav, Hine Anochi Olech Lamus Velama Zet Li Bechori. I'm going to die anyways. What do I need the Bechor for? Vayomer Yaakov, promise me. Now, what didn't Esav want? Right? Lama Zet Li Bechori. What do I need the Bechori for? Says Rashi, Lefisha voda b'bchoros, Amar Yaakov ein rasha ze kedai sheyakrit l'kadosh baruch hu. What did Esav not want a part of? The avoda, the service in the base of Mikdash. Who plays that role? The Kohanim. In other words, he didn't want to be the kuna. He says a rasha like me, Hashem's not going to want to have anything to do with me. And what does the pasuk say? Yaakov nasan leEsav lechem unezidat Hashim vayochav vayesh vayakam vayelech. Esav fills up. Vayivez Esav es habechora. He desecrates it. Hayir hakasav al risho shebiza avodaso shalmako. What was so bad, says Rashi, about what Esav did? He was vayivez. He biza avodaso. He desecrated the avoda. The avoda, the the sacrifices of Hashem. Now, how does Rashi know that? How does Rashi know that what Esav is doing here is rejecting the kahuna? He doesn't want to be bringing korbanos. So Rabbi Angel suggests that Rashi knows that from our pasuk. Right? Rashi looks at the comparison of Vayives with Bozei Shmi over here and puts the two of them together and says, and here's the analogy, right? Just as Esav did not want the kahuna, so too the Jewish people don't want to bring korbanos, right? Israel hates God by abusing korbanos, just as Esav hates God by refusing korbanos. So there's a comparison now. The same way Esav rejected Hashem by rejected bringing korbanos, that's exactly what Hashem is accusing the Jewish people over here. You are rejecting me by rejecting my korbanos. Now, how exactly do we reject his korbanos? Now, what did the Navi just do? The Navi makes us accountable. He points the finger at us. He says, you are not living up to your responsibilities. So let's see, how are we not living up to our responsibilities? Magishim al mizbechi lechem migo'al. You brought on my mizbeach. Migo'al is disgusting korbanos. Putrid. Ve'amartem, and what did you say? Bameh ge'al nucha. What was so bad about what we did? Again, it's the worst reaction. Be'amrechem shulchan nai nivzehu. And you know why you don't even care? Because my shulchan, my mizbeach, was nivzeh. In other words, you don't even care enough about my mizbeach to care about what you're bringing. Imagine coming into shul. This would never happen in Boca Raton Synagogue. But imagine coming into shul and finding the place trashed. Garbage all over the place, right? Just the whole place is trashed. And let's say Rabbi Goldberg were to go over to the young adults that trashed the place. And he said, like, do you realize, like, what you did here? And they're like, what's the big deal? It's like my living room. In the same way I do this to my living room, I do it here. So what would Hashem say back to them? What would Rabbi Goldberg say back to them? Even worse, you don't even realize what a shul is. Right before you get to the point of you're not supposed to treat a shul this way, you have to know what a shul is. That's exactly what Hashem says here. You don't even appreciate what my mizbeach means. And therefore, you don't treat it properly. You don't care what you put on it. So, pasachet v'chi sagishun iver lizboach ein ra. You bring an iver. An iver is a blind. You can't bring a blind korban. But ein ra, to you, it's not a big deal. Because you don't care. The mizbeach means nothing to you. V'chisa gishu piseach v'chole. And when you bring other forms of korbanos that can't be brought, ein ra. You also can't bring that. Hakriveu na lepechasecha hayirseu hayisa panecha amar anaitos. That's a very famous line. Hakriveu na lepechasecha means, would you give this to a governor? In other words, would you give this to the king? Now, this the Gemara uses in many places. The Gemara uses this line of Akriveu na lepchasecha to make halachic arguments for why, for example, one of the instances is whether or not you can dismember the korban before bringing it up to the mizbeach, or you should bring it up to the mizbeach whole and then take care of it afterwards. And one of the comments in the Gemara says, Akriveu na lepchasecha, you don't bring limbs up to the mizbeach. You bring an animal. Not, I wouldn't bring the animal, but like, you bring something that looks appropriate up to the Mizbeah. Because would you show up at the palace with a bunch of broken limbs? No, we have a certain standard of how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to treat the Mizbeah. And the standard is, would you bring this to a king? And if you wouldn't bring it to a king, if you'd be afraid to bring it to a king, Hashem says, then you should be afraid to bring it to me also. So you'll see this line in the Gemara many times. Radak says, Eich tucha lomar she'einenu ra la'akrivu lefanai. How can you say it's not bad to bring these abhorrent sacrifices to me? Vim takriveu lepchasecha basar v'dam hayirtzeh be'osa. If you brought this to a king, would he want it? Right? What would he say? Off with your head. And so what are you bringing it to me, Hashem says? Why are your standards for me and for my Beis HaMikdash and for my Mishkan any lower? Ve'ata, says Hashem. And now, Chaluna Pnei El Ve'yichanenu. Right? You're going to come to me and you think I'm going to want to have a relationship with you? Mi'edchem ha'isazos. What is mi'edchem? You did it. You brought this upon yourself. Don't say that I don't love you. I loved you. But you guys brought this upon yourself. Ha'isami kem panim amar na'itzva'os. Right? You want me now to show you favor? The way you treated me? Now, I'll show this to you here, just so we could appreciate it the rest of the time. But it is a little bit of a glimpse. Turn the page to the last page that I gave you. This is beautiful. Rabbi Angel, in his book, argues, I think correctly, once you show it, he quotes Michael Fishbane, I'm not sure who that is, but who compares the brachos of the kuhuna to what we're reading here in Malachi. Okay, so if you see his chart, which I think is just very clear, so we know the birchas kuhuna starts, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Now again, you'll see this runs throughout the second chapter. I should have waited, but I'm too excited about it. So I want to share with you, and that way you'll appreciate it later. Okay? We're going to see the word Yishmeru, Shomrim, right? That same V'yishmerecha. Then you have Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha V'chuneka. And if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see Halu Na Pnei El V'yichoneinu, right? That same Chanan. You have the word Chinam. You have the words, we just read it here, Ha'isami Kem Panim, right? You can go through one by one, but what do you see here? That there's a direct comparison between what Malachi is condemning the Kohanim for compared to the Berchas Kuna. And Rabbi Angel argues that why is that? Why do we employ the same terminology of Berchas Kohanim in condemning the Kohanim? What Hashem is, what he argues, what Hashem is essentially telling the Jewish people is all of these things that were supposed to be for a blessing are now being turned into a curse. That because you misused them, all of these wonderful terms, Isa, Yivarechecha, right? All of these wonderful things that we daven for, if they're abused and if they're misused, then I'll turn them from a bracha to a curse. And so keep this in mind as we continue to read against, about Hashem's diatribe against the Jewish people, against the Kohanim. Keep these words in mind. Says the Navi, again, Pasuk Yud now. Mipkam bachem v'yiskor delasayim v'lo sa'iru mizbechi chinam. Ein li chefetz bachem amar naitzvos u'mincha lo artzem miyachem. What does Hashem say I'd rather you do? What's Vayiskor Dilatayim? Close the doors. Shut it down. If you're not going to value my Beis HaMikdash, if you're not going to bring me appropriate korbanos, I'd rather you not be there at all. You're not doing me any favors. Ki mimizrach, now here's the shtuch. Ki mimizrach shemesh ve'ad mevao gadol shmi bagoyim. Now what's this talking about? From east to west, right? My name amongst the nations is going to be great. What's he essentially saying? Right? As opposed to you who are desecrating my name, there's going to come a time where the nations of the world are going to magnify. Uvechol makom mukdar mugash l'shmi u'mincha Torah, they're going to serve me properly. Right, Radak says, "Imayisi mitzave osam kamoshet sivisi eschem hayumaktirim magishim l'shmi." They would treat me properly. Ki gadol shmi bagoyim amar naitzos, because at least they value me. That's the ultimate shtuch, right? Those who I rejected. Remember, I loved you. I chose Yaakov over Esa, and despite that, my name is going to be glorified amongst the nations. Ve'atem pasuk yidbet. What do you do? You desecrate me. You profane me. Be'amrechem shulchan Adonai megoalhu. V'nivo nivze achlo. What? Hu v'nivo nivze achlo. What do they say? They say, what do we care? Hashem's Mizbeach is disgusting. His korbanos are disgusting. What do we care? V'amartem yinei mitla'a v'ipatchem. Oso amarnaitz v'os v'vesi gazul esav y'pseach v'zechola. Right, you're bringing me all these disgusting korbanos. V'arur nochel. Hashem says, I don't like any of this. Ki melech gadol ani Adonai amarnaitz v'os. U'shmi nora b'goyim. Right, my name is great. And somehow, you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. Now, this continues into the next chapter. What did he say up until now? All he's done is condemn the Kohanim. He's saying, you have brought me disgusting korbanos. And now he speaks to a different element. What makes this so bad? Why am I addressing the Kohanim? Because they're supposed to live up to a higher standard. They're supposed to represent something different. Okay? It's almost like if you were punishing your child. So first you would scream a little bit, and then you would say, I expected more from you. And that, as anyone knows, is like that's the dagger. That gets you. Pasnish, you're better than that. Right? That's what's going to kill them. So Pasuk Aleph, chapter 2. Ve'ata, and now, Eileichem, Aleichem ha-mitzvah azos ha-kohanim. I'm pointing the finger at you, the Kohanim. Im lo sishmu, if you don't listen to me. Vim lo sasimu alev lases kavo lashmi, amar naitzvaos. If you don't pay attention, and you don't give me the proper honor, vishilachti bachem es ha-me'ira, I'm going to send you a curse. What curse is it? The exact same bracha that I was supposed to give you is now going to be flipped into a curse. Ve'arosi es birchoseim. I'm going to turn your brachos into a curse. This is the Birchas Kohanim. Everything that was supposed to be for good, I'm going to make sure it's a curse. V'gam arosia ki einchem samim alev. Because you don't pay attention. Right? What's the sin? You don't pay attention to me. You don't care about me. Remember our example of the shul. The trash is one thing. The fact that you don't even realize that the trash is bad, that's even worse. Hashem says, lo asim alev. You don't even pay attention to me. Hineni go er lachem es hazera v'zeirisi peresh al pneichem peresh chagichem v'nasa eschem elav. Right? What does he say? I'm going to scatter you guys. Right? Think about the terminology. I'm going to scatter filth upon your faces. Right? We would say in English, right, throw mud on your face. That's essentially what Malachi is saying here. Okay, vidatem ki shilachti aleichem etz mitzvah zos. You will know that I gave you this mitzvah. Lios brisi es Levi amar naitzvos. I made a covenant with Levi. Brisi aisaito. There was a covenant with him. Hachayim veashalom, that there would be peace and everything. Vet name lo mora veyirani veyirani mimnei shmi nichat hu. Torah semes haisa befiu. The avla lo nimsa biswasav. He did such a good job, Levi. Torah's MS, the right was in his mouth. There was no sin found in his mouth. Bishalom of Mishur Halachi ti virabim heshiv meavon. He did a great job. He did a great job. It's talking about Aaron. Right? He did a great job. He returned many people from sin. Why? Why did the Kohen do this? Pasuk Zion. To me, one of the most important psukim here. Ki sifse kohen yishmeru das v'torah yevachshu mipiu ki malach Adonai tzvaot hu. What does that pasuk mean? Ki sifse kohen yishmeru das. The lips of the kohen yishmeru das. They are the keepers of knowledge. V'torah yevachshu mipiu. People will be asking. They'll be seeking Torah from them. In other words, the kohanim are the leaders. Kohanim are the teachers. Now, not just teachers in a physical sense, like I'm teaching you, but teachers in a role models. Right? Ki malach anaitzvaosu. What are they supposed to be? Rashi says something amazing. Shlucho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're the messengers of Hashem. Ki malachei hashareis. Just like the angels. L'sharet l'fanav u'likanes l'fnim b'mechitzaso. The same way angels are messengers of Hashem, so too you, my Kohanim, are my messengers. Now, if you take Rabbi Angel, what he said on Shabbos, right, A equals B, B equals C, so if the Kohanim are our messengers, so what are we? We're the messengers of the world. That's how he described chosenness. That's why I think if he were standing here right now, he would say, this is the pasuk I was talking about. You, the Jewish people, are the messengers to the world, the same way my Kohanim are messengers to you. What an amazing idea. We have a responsibility in this world, and that's to be the messengers of Hashem. Every single one of us. Whether we're here, whether we're in the line at Publix, whether we're in the gym, whether we're at a traffic stop, right? We are the messengers of Hashem. In the same way the Kohanim are, Ki sifse kohen, yishmeru das, v'tori yivakshu mipiyu, people come and they sought out knowledge from them, and they looked at them as role models. We're supposed to be the role models of the world. We are the Kohanim of the world. V'atem tiyu li mamleches Kohanim v'goy kadosh. Hashem says to us, you, the Jewish people, are a nation of Kohanim. We are the teachers of the world. Not just in ethical monotheism. We're the teachers of values, of Torah. That's our obligation. That's our responsibility. That's our mandate. To teach the Torah and its timeless values to the world around us. Ki malach Hashem. Think about shlucho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single one of us is a shaliach of Hashem in this world. That's our job. Our job isn't just to make money, and it's not to build. Our job is to be the shaluchim of Hashem. That is an amazing pasuk. Or goyim, you would use different words. I think this is even more powerful, personally. Okay? So again, Malachi speaks to that element to them. He says, you guys were supposed to play a role. Ve'atem pasachet, what did you do? Sarte min aderech. You deviated from this path. Hichshaltem rabim batorah, and instead of bringing people closer to Torah like you were supposed to do, right? Yishmeru das v'torah yivakshim apiyu. What'd you do instead? You made people stumble in Torah. Shichatem bris halevi amar aranai tzvos. What shichat? Shiches? They destroyed. Right? You destroyed. L'shachet, you destroyed this covenant that I had with the Kohanim. Begam ani, are we ending? Hold on. Yeah, let's read one more pasuk. V'gam ani natati etchem nivzim u'shvalim l'chol ha'am k'vi asher einchem shomrim es terachai v'nosim panim b'torah. In the same way you desecrated me, I'm going to make sure that you are the lowliest of the people. Okay? Now, again, if you take our analogy, if we are the Kohanim, what does that mean for us? It means for us that if we are supposed to be the Kohanim of the world and we fail to live up to that responsibility, what happens to us? We get punished. So there's a dual layer to this entire story. On the one hand, yes, the Navi is talking to the Kohanim. And he is saying, you, as the people with the responsibility of the Beis HaMikdash, live up to a higher standard. You're in charge of the korbanos. You're in charge of my Beis HaMikdash. And what did you do? You destroyed it. You don't care about it. You desecrated it. But it's more than that. You were supposed to live up to a higher standard. You were supposed to bring people closer. You're the teachers. You're the role models. And you failed to live up to that. And because of that, I'm going to make you the lowliest. And if you take that analogy to the Jewish people, it's perfect. Right? We said to Hashem, Hashem, do you really love me? Hashem says, of course I love you. You know why this relationship is frayed? Not because I don't love you, but because you failed to live up to your responsibility as my malachim, as my angels, as my shluchim. And because you failed to live up to that responsibility and that mandate, so think about these words, v'gam ani nasati eschem nivzim. I'm going to make sure you were mevazeh me, you embarrassed, desecrated me, so I am going to make sure that you are just as repulsive and lowly to all the nations of the world. Why? Because you failed to live up to that responsibility. So that's topics 1 and 2 today, which are very much interlinked. Very much. And very much relevant. Yes?
Without that,
How does that affect today? I think it affects today beautifully. Right? Hashem has given us a land. He's given us unprecedented affluence, religious freedom, opportunity. That's the question. Right? That's the question. Are we living up to the standards that Hashem expects of us? Are we fulfilling this mandate of Kisifse Kohen Yishmeru Das Vitori Vakshmi Piyu? Are we playing that role in the world? Are we doing a good enough job? When you open up the front page of the New York Post, is it because someone, a Jew, was being sent to prison for embezzlement or fraud? Or are you opening up the front page of the New York Post because there's a major Kiddush Hashem and we're teaching the world about how to live with ethics and morals and values and a Torah perspective? Right? Ki malach Hashem tzvakosu. To each one of us walk around every single day, get up in the morning and say that shlucho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am the shaliach of Hashem. Right? God, if there's air in my lungs, it's because God wants something for me today. And that's going to mean something different for everybody and every community and every, you know, geographical location. Different people are going to play different roles. That's fine. But to all of us, wake up every morning and say, I'm a shaliach of Hashem. God wants big things for me this morning. We don't use this language. You know who does use this language? The evangelicals. They use this language. You watch any... I can't endorse this. But if you were to watch, let's say, Joel Osteen, who's not particularly Christian in the way he presents it, right? He'll talk about this every day. He'll get up there and say, God, I can't even pretend to mimic his accent, but he'll say, God expects big things from you. You have potential. God expects you to be his partner. They're very comfortable using that language, right? We have to get comfortable with that language also. Now, with that language comes responsibility. If I wake up every morning and say, I'm the shaliach of Hashem, which means every action, every thought, every word that comes out of my mouth is either bringing close people closer to Hashem, drawing people further away from Hashem, I bear that responsibility. Well, that's a lot to walk around with. And for the average person, they would rather not walk around with that. We would shirk that responsibility. But that's what it means to be a Jew. It means to be a Jew. These haunting words of Rashi. Shlucho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki malach Hashem tzvakosu. We are the malachim of Hashem. Hashem has angels in the heaven, and he has angels on earth. You know who his angels on earth are? Me and you and every single one of you in this room. That's what it means. So I think it's very relevant. And I think that's why we're learning all this. You know, we might not like the answers, because what it means for us, and again, I'm not saying this is the case, because I don't know how the world works. But if we're applying what we're learning in the Navi to contemporary discourse, which I think is the role that the Navi plays, right? This whole notion of potential, unfulfilled potential, and instead of casting blame, looking inside, right? I think is very relevant to us, right? We live in a time of potential. Israel, the founding of the state of Israel, 67, Golan Heights, amazing things are happening. It's mind-boggling what's happening in the world right now. The Saudis, the Arab states are making alliances with Israel, something you wouldn't have fathomed 50 years ago. It's coming to fruition. There are amazing things happening right now, but we're not there yet. And so, right, Malachi, again, I'm not applying it because I can't do those things, but to a comparable situation in Jewish history, Malachim looked at those people and said, are you living up to the gifts that Hashem has given you? Are you living up to your mandate of what it means to be a Jew? Of Kisifse Kohen Yishmeru Das, Vitori Yavakshmi Piyu, Ki Malach Hashem Tzvakosu. I don't know, but I know that that's a question we should be asking ourselves. And I think that's something that's very relevant to us. And I think it's positive. We don't talk in the negative nowadays. Right? You never hear me and Rabbi Goldberg get up there and rail against something in our community. We don't do that. That's not our style. But we will look at Pasuk Zion and talk about that. That we're messengers of Hashem. We have a mission in this world. We have a mandate to represent God, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in the publics, whether it's at the gym. You'll hear us talking about that all the time. Because I think that's something that we can all grab onto. Because I think the Joel Osteens are talking about it also, and it's kind of the language that's used in America nowadays. Right? Rick Warren and all of these people, that's the language they're using. You're here for a purpose. God didn't just need another human being in threw ink against the wall and Phil Moskowitz popped out. Right? If I woke up this morning, because I had a mission in this world, I have that which I need to accomplish. And yes, I believe that if each one of us maintains that mentality, so I do think the world will be a better place. I do think we'll bring more kavod shamayim into this world. I think that's what Hashem wants from each one of us as individuals and from us as a people. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Right? That we model behavior of kindness, of generosity, of self-sacrifice. These are all values that we found in the Torah that Hashem says, I want you to be living your life as. So anyways, that's one and two, right? We said, Hashem, do you love us? Hashem says, of course I love you. But you have to look inside and say, why am I rejecting you? It's not because of me, but it's because of you. Next week, we're going to talk about the next failures of the Jewish people. And that's going to be intermarriage. That's going to be miser tithing. It's going to be a very interesting idea. We're going to talk about Tzadik Viralo, why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people. Don't forget, if you're a Jew at that time and you're seeing the nations of the world thriving, Persia's thriving, and what's happening in Israel, they have all these problems. So you're going to say to Hashem, how is that fair? So the Navi is going to describe that explicitly. That's all going to be next week. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the notion of nevuah, prophecy, transitioning from prophecy to a world of rabbinic authority. And that obviously is going to have major implications for us nowadays because we live in a world of rabbinic authority. Love it, hate it, that's what we have. We're going to talk about that a little more. We'll finish before Pesach. And then we got to figure out what we're going to talk about after Pesach. But we have a little while to talk about that. Everyone have a great week.